Today is the day of answers. Be expecting answers today. It doesn't matter how small it seems. It doesn't matter how big it seems. Whatever it is, we expect answers from heaven today for direction. Hallelujah. We thank you for answers where we need to make a change. We thank you for answers in any situation. Today is the day to receive our answer in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. You may greet one another this morning. Glory to God. Welcome to those of you online. We're glad to have you with us. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Yeah. Oh, praise God. Well, if it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church. Or if it's not your first time, then we still encourage you to check out our website. You can submit prayer requests there, testimonies there, past sermons are on there, video and audio. It's really convenient to have your phone to be able to do this. Yes, everyone's here is still visiting in the room. You know, I think we could go on and on. We may need like an hour of greeting time. I don't know. We'll see. That's why we say come early. Welcome. Welcome. Praise God. Welcome to our first time guests. It's good to have you. If you'd fill out a visitor card, please, this morning, and then just put it in the offering basket. That'd be awesome. We appreciate that. So we could follow up. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is also on our website every day, but it's also posted onto Facebook. It's such an easy thing to help us jumpstart our day. I just, you know, now with our little baby, I get up and she might be getting up around the same time or however that works, but I jump right on that devotional. So I get the word, I get the scripture, and then the prayer and the confession as well. So I really appreciate that devotional. And you can scan the QR code there online and then it'll pull right up onto your phone there. Also, so Sundays, doors open at 9 and we have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. And so we encourage you to come for a pre-service prayer. So this morning we handed out prayer targets or our pre-service prayer guide. And then with the prayer, I also want to mention, we invite you here. We're going to start having Friday prayer here at the church. We've been having it at our house, but we're going to start having it here at the church from 9 to 10 on Friday mornings. And what we do on Friday mornings, we pray over the church, over all of you. We pray over the community. So those are our two prayer targets. It's such a blessing to come together and pray. And then we also pray over one another. And so usually, you know, however the Holy Spirit leads that. But if you come and you want prayer and those kinds of things, specifically, we pray over the church and over the community. It's a powerful time of prayer. So again, that will be beginning now here at the church on Fridays from 9 to 10. And so Wednesday nights, we have started as of last Wednesday. We're very excited about this. It's called Jesus, the Miracle Worker Discipleship Class. What a blessing. We had such a, it was an awesome time in the Lord. So the format is Pastor Rodney, he preaches a message, he shares the word of God and regarding the miracles of Jesus. And so then after the teaching, we have discussion amongst ourselves, activation and practical hands-on ministry and prayer for one another. And so it's very interactive with one another. It's just the first part that's online. And then after that, the cameras are shut off and then we have our time in here. And so it's a great time. I'm already excited about this coming Wednesday and we're doing that for 12 weeks. It's a 12-week course. And so we invite you to come on Wednesday nights. Again, the doors open at 6 and it starts at 6:30. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, ushers, video production. If media is something you enjoy or are interested in, come talk to us. We can, if it's something you're just interested in, but you're like, I don't really know exactly how to do this, come talk to us. We can set you up. I know all the guys and gals from the churches and places and ministries I've been, they get into media. They love their media mission. They get into that and they have such a good time. There's children and youth ministry. And of course, our worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team, a discipleship class, please let us know. And we'd love to visit with you about what God's calling you to do. We want to thank all of our volunteers. As always, we cannot do it without each and every one of you. And we appreciate you so much. We also encourage you to invite someone to church. We thank you for those of you who have been inviting. Be intentional, bring them. As we said on Wednesday night, 4 out of 5 people come to church because somebody invited them. 4 out of 5. They can see the ad. They can hear about it. You know, like I said before, I spoke to a friend recently and she asked people, where did they go to church? Where did they go to church? They all told her where they went to church. Nobody invited her until the last person invited her. That's the church she's literally going to. And so it's like, if people ask, you invite them, you know, they, if it's a church for them, or we believe for God to get people in the right place for them. And so then a few more announcements regarding the offering this morning. We are in our next phase of building projects and we're putting together some flyers and slides for that so we can see where we're at, so we can see what we've accomplished. And then with the $5,000 we're believing to come in by the end of May is for another sign for the building, better lighting for this room, and a keyboard for our praise and worship team. Also, with our building fund, a building and property of our own. We see classrooms, lots of classrooms, room for growth, a fellowship hall, the children's ministry, the nursery, breakout session rooms. And so that's our vision for what we have for the property. And it goes on. We want it bigger than what we have. So we have to grow into this place. Amen. So far, $929 has come in. Praise the Lord for that. And there's $4,071 remaining. So we ask you to believe with us, release your faith for this. You know, what are you believing for in your own home and your own projects? What we're sowing into this, we believe you receive that harvest into your own lives as well. And so this morning for offering, I did receive a scripture from the Lord. And this is out of the Passion Translation. And it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. Galatians 6:8-9. And this is what, you know, I heard this when I was somewhere in the middle of the night getting up, even last night. It starts with verse 7 here. I have, God will never be mocked, for what you plant or what you sow will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self, life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. We don't want that, right? No. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap. It says you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Verse 9, and don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Again, I want to say that again. The season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. We prayed that in pre-service prayer when mom was leading, that time, not to allow time to defeat us. We're speaking the word. We're believing the word. But there's that factor called time sometimes. Yes, we want it microwavable hot instantly, right? And there are those miracles. There are those things. By the time we leave here, we get home, we receive, we see it, and that happens. We believe for that. And then there's the progressive things, right? Or, you know, it's building. First the seed, then the blade, then the ear, then the corn, right? And so I want to encourage you as we're sowing our seeds this morning, name your seed, because what you plant, you're going to reap, and we're in agreement with your harvest for you. Praise the Lord. I felt like saying, does anyone have any questions? Praise God. I'm excited about what we have for this morning. Miracles. Are you all expecting your miracle? Praise God. Amen. We need to be expecting. We need to be ready. We need to be receiving. So if you're giving this morning and you're giving towards the building fund, please write building fund. If you're giving online, the information's on the screen, and there's general fund or a drop down of building fund. If you're giving by cash or credit card, please make sure to sign the envelope if it's credit card. And write your information if it's cash. If you're given by check, please write it to BLFC. And I believe I got everything. And we just, let's say our offering confessions together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. Double. Double, double, and double again in Jesus' name. And one more thing I want to add. Now, you might ask, why do we say offering confessions? Well, our words are containers. And just like in Romans, when we receive salvation, we confess, we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. This is the same principle. We're speaking our offering confessions, and the word is going to work. Amen. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, who's excited about, amen, signs, wonders, and miracles? Praise God. God is the God of miracles. And so we started something here on Wednesday night. Amen. And I was really praying about this, and it's been on my heart for quite some time. You know, we have been sharing on the subject of faith and really examining what faith is, how it works. You know, faith isn't some spooky, mysterious, you know, hard to understand. No, it's just very simple. I take God at his word. I believe what he says, and I act in obedience to it. And so really, we kind of surmised, you know, when you kind of put all things together, what faith really is, you know, of course, you can look at, we looked at different Bible definitions, but really, faith is simply obedience to revelation. Amen. What the Lord shows you in his word, what Holy Spirit prompts you to do, when you are obedient to do that, that's the recipe for miracles. That's the recipe for answers to prayer. Amen. So again, everybody always has a part to play in your own life, in miracles themselves. You know, things don't just happen automatically. You know, when we have started looking at the life of Jesus here on Wednesday nights, and again, we're kind of workshopping that a little bit, and that's really been something on my heart to have more interactions. Again, we're not just coming up here and teaching you like we are on a Sunday morning, like we're going to do this morning, but we want to hear back from you, amen, and help you to participate in your own miracle. Hallelujah. Because again, everybody has things. You have loved ones. You have your own situations. You have, you know, whether it be your body and your soul, things you may need deliverance from. You know, it could be financial, whatever it is. There is a part that we have to play in our own breakthroughs. Amen. And we're going to see more about that. But in conjunction to all of this is today, we're going to be beginning on looking at the miracles of Jesus. And again, here today, we're going to be looking at the woman with the issue of blood. I think many of us may be familiar with that. It's recorded in several of the gospel accounts. We're going to be highlighting Mark chapter 5 and looking at his account of that. But let's go ahead and open in prayer, and we'll get right into this. Father God, we thank you so much for this word. Lord, we thank you that you have come and you have given us your word. And by faith today, we are here gathered in your name, and we receive Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the word. You are breathing on this word today. Yes, given divine utterance, but Lord, we receive the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Lord, that each one of us, those in this room, those of you watching, whenever, wherever you are, that we're able to receive the word that we need for our miracle. And by faith, we just thank you for it. And in Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, hard copy or soft copy, whatever you have, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So again, faith is obedience to revelation. Amen. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. We saw that on Wednesday night. The very first miracle that Jesus ever performed was at a wedding in Cana. It wasn't raising the dead. It wasn't healing the sick. It wasn't casting out devils and all these other things. He turned water into wine. It was really a miracle of luxury. Amen. They didn't need more wine, right? Amen. You know, we looked at that. It would have been a social embarrassment, you know, for them to run out of wine at the wedding. You know, and then the Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, turns to those servants and says, hey, boys, whatever he says to you to do, y'all go do it. And then she just walks out of the room. You know, and so Jesus gave instruction, and they were obedient to that instruction, and they participated in that miracle. They're the ones who went and drew water from the well or from the river, wherever they got the water from, and they started filling these pots. Each pot was 20 to 30 gallons, and there were six of them. They were the ones putting in the water. They're the ones that are taking this over to the master of ceremonies. And somewhere along the way, that water transformed into wine. Amen. God cares about every detail, every aspect of your lives. And what you and I call miracles in the kingdom, he just calls ordinary. He is a miracle working God. He's the God that says light be and light is. Everything that he's ever done, he said it, and it was, and it was, and it was. Jesus came, the second Adam, the Bible calls him, demonstrating and operating really the same way the first Adam did. Amen. Father and Son in the garden were working together, and to you and I, we would say that was miraculous, but that's just how the kingdom operates. God would take and go to the dust of the ground. He's forming these different creatures, animals, birds and all types of things, and he brings it over to Adam. Adam, what do you call this? This is an eagle. And when he calls this thing an eagle, he's not just giving it a moniker, a name. He's giving it its identity. In that identity is its purpose. And it goes and it becomes exactly that. That's just ordinary in the kingdom of God. Jesus comes, and what's the Lord's prayer? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On this earth. How? As it is in heaven. So when we see how things are in heaven, we know that's how it is to be in this earth. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. And it just doesn't happen because you simply prayed a prayer. It happens because you got in participation with God. I heard from God. I heard what to call this thing. And now I, by faith, am releasing this word. And I'm expecting as I do so, things are going to move. Things are going to happen. This is just how it operates. God's method of operation will never change, ever. God doesn't change his mind. He's not repentant about it. How it worked in the Garden of Eden is exactly how it worked in the life of Jesus, how it works in all of the Acts of the Apostles, and how it works for you and I today. It's the same method of operation. It's not hard to understand. It's very simple, right? But there is a devil out here who is combating us with fear, doubt, and unbelief, and we're here today to flush all that out. Amen. There's a scripture over in Ephesians 5:25 that says that we need to submit to the washing of the water of the word. Amen. We need to allow the word of faith. Paul says in Romans 10:8, this is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. I need to allow the word of God to gain entrance into my life, into my heart, into my mind, and flush out the fear, doubt, unbelief, flush out religion, flush out wrong thinking, and say, you know what? This is not complicated. This is, anybody can do this. If you're in Christ, you have every right. You have all of the authority. You have the name. You have everything you need to receive from God today. Amen. In Christ, He's already done it. He's already provided your breakthrough. He's already provided your healing. He's already provided your provision. It belongs to you now. All that you have to do is reach out by faith and say, I receive that. I receive that. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to see more about this. So, glory to God. Again, miracles, these are not to be admired. Miracles are invitations into the kingdom life that Jesus intended for us to live right now. And we're going to see in this service today, but in all these services to come, we're going to be in this for a while. You know how we do series? We're going to be on this for a while looking at the miracles in the Gospels. Again, on Sundays and Wednesdays, we're going to unpack them different ways, but we're going to see more about this. I don't just preach whatever I want to preach. I seek the Lord, and then He shows us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But I've noticed this, and I've known this, when He's highlighting something to us, amen, it's because He's endeavoring to get these things through us. So if He wants to teach us right now on miracles, then He's got miracles in mind for you and I. Be expecting. Again, they're at a wedding. They're not in church. They're at a wedding, just an ordinary, having a party, and then the miraculous just shows up. The miraculous can show up in your kitchen. The miraculous can show up driving down the road. Amen. I was thinking on this morning, and my mom, I know she'll be watching this later on. You know, but I was reminded, it was years ago, I was standing in her kitchen, and she had been having a lot of pain in her jaw. She couldn't open her mouth, couldn't chew without constant pain. And this had been going on for a while. And then I was over there, and I was in the kitchen with her, and she said, Rodney, would you come over here and pray for me? This isn't right. This needs to go. And so I just came over, I laid hands on her, and I prayed a very simple prayer. I just released my faith. I spoke to this thing and commanded it to go. Instantly, she's healed. And she's standing, now mom likes to eat nuts, and so she keeps frozen nuts in the freezer. She reaches over in the freezer, she grabs a handful of frozen cashews, and she just starts chomping away, politely. You know, but and I remember, I'm healed, and went on, and just been healed ever since. Amen. Now, it doesn't always happen instantly. Sometimes it does, and it sure is fun when it does. Amen. But you can receive miracles anytime, anywhere, if you'll simply reach out in faith and receive it. It belongs to you now. It belongs to you now. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You don't have to say, you know, have I been righteous? Have I been good? Have I measured up? He perfectly measures up. Amen. I'm not judging me according to me. I'm judging according to who I am in Christ. And in Christ, I'm made the righteousness of God. Therefore, I qualify perfectly for every miracle. Amen. I qualify for salvation. I qualify for healing. I qualify to have my bills paid and my needs met. Why? Because He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Nisi, my victory. Amen. He is. And where is He? He's in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we awaken to who we are in Christ, we can just step over into the flow of the miraculous life of who we really are. That's who you are. Amen. It's not my life. It's His life. He's living His life through me. And how is He doing it? By faith. I live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I live my life by faith in the Son of God who loved me. I live my life by faith in Him. Galatians 2:20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to be seeing here today again, Mark chapter 5, in the woman with the issue of blood. And what we really have is a template. It's a template for how you and I can receive and walk in miracles. So again, there's four steps that this woman modeled, and I'm sure at the time she didn't realize what she was actually doing. Amen. But Jesus, you know, shares some things with her, and we see other accounts in the Gospels to see. And again, I did this early on in my walk with the Lord. I was walking out things and I was doing things as the Holy Spirit was leading me. And then I went back and later on and said, you know what? That's how faith works. I didn't know I was doing it at the time, but I saw how He was prompting me and leading me to get me to that end result. All the while, He needs faith to do it, but Holy Spirit was helping me even when I didn't know these things. And then I was able to look back later and say, oh, that's how and why that worked. So there's four things I really want to point out today. Number one is she said it. Number two, she did it. Number three, she received it. And number four, she went and told it. So again, let's look at this account, Mark 5:25-34. And a woman was there who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. She had a chronic flow of blood. A chronic flow of blood for 12 years. She has been constantly bleeding. I just can't imagine. You know, again, she's been on her cycle for 12 straight years. And I was thinking about this. She's not just bleeding. Think about what happens to the hormones and all of this stuff at the same time for 12 years. This was obviously a wealthy woman. It says in verse 26, she had borne much agony under the care of many physicians. You know, doctors today and then weren't much part. It's not inexpensive to go to the doctor. She went to many physicians and she had spent everything she had. She had sold everything. She took everything that she had and she gave it all just trying to get some relief and found none. It says here, but to no avail. Instead, her condition had only grown worse. So again, whatever's been going on with the hormones, whatever's been going on with the blood, it's only gotten worse and worse and worse. You know, she's got to have some relief. Verse 27, when the woman heard about Jesus, she came through the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she kept saying, if only I touch his garments, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she sensed or she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus was aware that power had gone out from him. Turning to the crowd, he asked, who touched my garments? His disciples answered, you can see the crowd pressing in on you, and yet you ask, who touched me? But he kept looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, trembling in fear, and she told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free of your affliction. Now, I want to point out here, there is a God side and there's a man's side or our side to winning every battle. Every victory, every miracle, God always has his part and you always have your part. It's not a passive thing to receive a miracle. Amen. Miracle power is present. Healing power is present, but it's not always received. It's not always cooperated with. Amen. Faith begins, number one, where the will of God is known. That's the beginning of it. If you don't know that healing belongs to you now, then you won't have faith to receive healing. You have to first realize healing is mine. I have to take God at His word when He says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by His stripes, He says you were healed. The same cross that saved you is the same cross that healed you. While you're staring at the cross, just walk around the back side of that cross and you'll see stripes that were laid on His back. And He says it was for your healing. Hallelujah. You have to know that. Well, you know, I know He's healed some and you know, you just never know what God's going to do. That's a lie. The Bible told you clearly what His will is. His word is His will. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. He doesn't qualify that scripture. He just says, by my stripes, you were healed. If I were healed, I am healed. Now, why am I not seeing healing in my body? Because I have not yet reconciled the two things. You have to reconcile your healing. It belongs to you. Salvation is available to the entire planet. Why are not all saved? They've not believed it, and they've not acted upon it and received it. They can. They can also receive healing. There's been people that have been healed and not yet saved. It's happened. Healing belongs to people. I've been in meetings, and we've seen that. People get healed, and then they say, you know what? I want to know the God who healed me. And they get saved. Again, do you recognize in the life and ministry of Jesus, not one person is righteous? Not one person is born again? They all got sin in their life? He's not yet died on the cross. And yet Jesus healed them all. That's what the Bible says. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. This was his life and ministry. He was demonstrating the kingdom of God. He didn't qualify anyone to receive a miracle. He never turned to someone and said, you know what? I know you've come to me, and I know that you know I can heal, but I know you've got sin in your life. And sister, if you'll get that sin out, you can come back and maybe we can talk about your healing today. Never. Never once. He just heals them, and he heals them, and he heals them every single time without fail. Anyone who came to Jesus in faith, and we'll see it every single time, 100% of the time, they got healed. Glory to God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever, especially on this side of the cross. Especially now that you're in Christ, that you have been made one with the healer himself. Healing is not out here somewhere. Healing lives on the inside of you. Amen. We just have to reach out and receive it and say, you know what? That's mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, God cannot fail on his part, and in Christ, he has already fulfilled it for us today. We must recognize if there is any failure, it's always on our part. It's not on God. Well, you know, I guess it wasn't God's will to heal me. No, he's already proved his will. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already bore stripes on his back. So again, if you need salvation, there's nothing more that God needs to do. Jesus doesn't need to come back to this earth, go born of a virgin and go to the cross all over again just so you can be saved. Not necessary. He did it once for all time for all men. He bore stripes on his back once for all time for all men. Whoever will believe it and by faith receive it can participate in that the same as they can participate in salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus attributes her healing to really one thing. He says, your faith has healed you. Your faith. Now imagine Jesus, he's just walking down the street with Jairus to go over to his house. We'll see more about the other side of this, to go raise up his daughter who's dead. He's just walking with Jesus. The crowd's pressing in. People are touching him and all this and that, but no one's received healing. They're excited Jesus is here. But Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, and this woman comes and just grabs a little drive-by healing, so she thought. Jesus turns to her and says, your faith. It wasn't Jesus' faith. Now, Jesus lived in faith, but in this particular miracle, he had really no part to play other than she knew there was a flow of power that flew from the Father to him and through him. She knew that. So she says, if I can just make contact, I can receive that healing flow, and I can just be on my way. This was 100% her faith. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And we're going to see more and more about this. Jesus, again, attributes over and over, according to your faith, according to your faith. Where was your faith? And again, he's always talking about faith. He would say to the disciples, how you of little faith, you of some faith. And then we'll see there's another miracle. He says, this is great faith. Hallelujah. It's always according to your faith. Your faith is, faith is the currency of the kingdom. It's the method of exchange by which we reconcile the things of heaven into this earth. You don't buy healing. You don't earn healing. You don't merit healing. You by faith receive healing. You know what? I acknowledge this healing belongs to me. And by faith, I just reach out and I reconcile healing into this body. And I take it as mine today. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone had told this woman about healing. Someone told her about healing. So again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Someone came, a friend, a relative, maybe they got healed. However it is, someone came and shared the good news with her. Hey, Jesus is out here healing folks. You know, and a lot of times I've seen him lay hands, or maybe he laid hands on me and I was healed. You know what? If you can get to Jesus, you can get, somebody told her. So therefore, she now has faith to believe something about him. Again, faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come because you pray for faith. The Bible, Jesus never tells you one time, pray for faith. The disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, help us increase our faith. He says, no, you got all the faith you need. Just sow the faith you got and it'll work for you. Mustard seed faith will cause miraculous things to happen. You don't need more faith. You just need to release the faith you have. Amen. It'll grow. It'll grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So step number one we want to look at here. She said what she desired, and it just happens to be in line with God's word, which is his will. So she didn't just invent something in her own imagination. No, she heard specifically what God was doing. She saw how he was operating. Someone told her about this. So she starts making a confession that is in line with what the word of God actually is. And what was she saying? She says here, for she kept saying, verse 28, if I only touch his garments, I will be healed. For if I only touch, so again, someone had told her something about Jesus laying hands on folks. And so she's just going, she's meditating on, again, meditate means to murmur, ponder, to muse, to mull over. So she's got nothing else to do. She's got an issue of blood. She can't be out in public. She's unclean. Ceremonially, she's unclean. And if she comes out in public, she's required by law, unclean, 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 so that people give her a wide berth. Right? She's got an issue of blood. So she's housebound, but yet she's meditating all day. She can just see herself, Jesus is laying hands on me. I'm touching him. And yep. I can just see it. I can just see that. If I can just touch him, I'm going to be healed. If I can just touch him, I can get healed. She's going on for this, I don't know, days, weeks, months, however long. The scripture says she's kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. She's seeing by the eye of faith, her laying hands on Jesus' garment and running up and receiving her healing. She's seeing this and she's saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. I want to make note here. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I have a bonus for you today. On the back of your notes is the daily devotional. And I just happened to notice this morning, it's on Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is on our website every single day. Also, I'll link it back to Facebook so that you can access it however you can get it. But this is today's daily devotional. We have one every day of the year. And soon, Lord willing, we're going to have this in print so you can have some hard copies of it. But again, I would encourage you to just go over this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Jesus says here also, Mark 12:34-35, for out of the overflow, other scriptures, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Faith is of the heart, not the head. I can have doubt in my head and faith in my heart. Amen. But out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. Verse 35, Jesus says, the good man brings good things out of his good treasure or good store of treasure, and the evil man brings evil things out of his evil store of treasure. All right. What you store up in your heart is what you treasure. What am I giving my time, my focus, my finances, my attention to? Again, I'm going to go wherever I focus. You can also look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 through 27 is another example of this. It doesn't even have to necessarily be evil. It can just simply be I'm spending all my time and my attention on ungodly things. Not that it's an evil thing, but God's not in that. If I'm spending all my time in, you know, sports and hobbies and activities and giving no attention and time for the Word of God, well, what's coming out of my mouth? Idle stuff, fruitless stuff. And when I need a breakthrough, when I need God to move in my life, there's nothing there to draw upon. You know, amen. So again, what you store up in your heart is what you treasure. You don't spend all your time in one thing and constantly talk another. No, you're gonna constantly talk about, easily flow with whatever you've been putting in. Or if you're putting the word in, the word's going to be coming out of your mouth and you're going to get word results in your life. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. The only way that is possible is Jesus was constantly in communion with the Father. Always. Constantly in communion. Therefore, Jesus got 100% results. What kind of results do you want in your life? Do you want 100? You want 90? You want 50? You get 10? You decide. You get to choose every day. How much of Him do I want? How much of God do I want in my life? How much of signs, wonders, and miracles do I want in my life? Do I want answers to prayer or not? It doesn't work because I just passively prayed a short prayer sitting on the couch and then flipped over to the next TV show. Doesn't work that way. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Him do. I'm tuned into the voice of God. Hallelujah. Again, the format is really simple. I understand it's not always so easy, but it really is simple. Anybody can do it. If we will but set our mind to, you know what, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what it takes to hear from Him. I'm going to prioritize spending time with the Father. Amen. Whatever comes out of your mouth is your faith speaking. So in this instance, you are the establishing witness in the earth. You are the establishing witness, your mouth, life or death. So again, you establish heaven or you establish hell. You establish life or you establish death. You establish the positive thing or the negative thing. You establish the good thing or you establish the evil thing. You establish sickness or you establish healing. You establish lack or you establish abundance, peace, chaos, joy, depression. You choose. You choose. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is going to frame the world you live in. Whatever comes out of your mouth is framing the world you live in. We live in a world, in a universe made up of words. The word says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, He is upholding all things by the word of His power. Everything is upheld by words. Light be, light was. Adam's out here in the garden naming animals. Everything's a word. Everything's a word. Life and death, he says, are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. You can speak blessing or you can speak curse. Either way, you're right. That's just how you call it is how it will be in your life. Amen. It's only a matter of time. Sometimes you'll see it instantly, but either way, if you'll hold fast to it, it will happen exactly how you call it. Thank you, Jesus. You will have whatever you say. The word says in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, I pray that the partnership in the faith, I pray that your partnership in the faith, that word partnership in Greek is the word koinonia. It means intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship. He says, I pray that your partnership, I pray that your intimate fellowship in the faith may become effective. Ooh, who wants to be effective? Who wants to be effective in the kingdom? Amen. Amen. How do you do it? He says, as you fully acknowledge every good thing that is ours in Christ. I pray your partnership, I pray your intimate fellowship in the faith may become effective as you fully acknowledge, as I fully acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. So again, I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do now that I'm in Christ. The New Testament has roughly 180 references to in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in Him, in whom. There's at least 40 of these that I have found that really are very significant scriptures. But every instance is pointing to exactly this is who you are, this is what you have, this is what you can do now that you're in Christ. And really, everywhere that you see the word Christ in these epistles, you can just put your name in those because you're in Christ. He says, if you will acknowledge who you are, what you have now that you're in Christ, this is how you're going to participate in the faith. Now you're going to, out of this revelation knowledge, speak to this thing and say, you know what? By His stripes I was healed. My God meets all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All grace comes to me in abundance so that I always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, I'm self-sufficient. I have much left over. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Philippians 4:19, 1 Peter 2:24. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak and it's going to declare things, and things are moving in the realm of the Spirit, and it's only a matter of time for you're going to see the manifestation of it in the natural. Amen. Just like the fig tree, we looked at that here a few weeks ago. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, 9 faith-filled words. In the moment, it seemed as though nothing happened. But 24 hours later, amen, in that midnight hour, things turned. Peter sees the next morning, hey, that thing's dried up from the root. The word went to work immediately when Jesus spoke it. Hallelujah, but you didn't see an instant miracle, or so it seemed, but the Word was working the whole time. Amen, let the Word work. Let it breathe. Amen, it's working the whole time. Hold fast to your confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward. Hebrews chapter 10 says, glory to God. So again, we have our part to play in partnering with God or having faith in God and only acknowledging and speaking the truth over every aspect of our lives. You have no business ever expressing yourself or taking sides against God's word. If He says you're healed, don't declare and receive pain and disease. That's not you. That's not who you are. That's not what belongs to you. He says you're healed. What do you say? What do you say? Again, we've been teaching on this for months now, homologio. He says the word of homologio, homo meaning the same, logio meaning to speak, say the same thing. Whatever God says, you homologio, you say the same thing. I agree with God. I refuse to take sides against God and His word. If He says I'm healed, I'm healed. You don't look healed. You don't feel healed. I didn't ask me. I asked God. I consulted the Word of God, and He says I'm healed. So I, first and foremost, I agree with God, and I receive God. I know the truth of this is I'm healed. Now, Holy Spirit, help me to reconcile the two. Help me. Show me what if there's something I need to do, show me what that is. But I'm starting on the basis of truth. By His stripes, I'm healed. Now, again, I need to reconcile this. Holy Spirit, help me. Show me. That's what He hears. John 16:13, Jesus said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, again, truth is the Word of God. When the Spirit of the Word, when the Spirit of truth has come, and He has, He will lead you and He will guide you into all truth. He'll breathe on that word, make it revelation to you as to what you need to do today to walk out your own miracle. Again, we're going to see more about this. Jesus does not minister healing, for example, the same way every time. There's not just this one pat formula for ministering healing. No, He's hearing from the Father every time. And again, He's ministering healing in different ways. Uh-huh. But it always requires faith. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 through 24. Here's another example. Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Or you could say, have faith in the Word of God. God and His Word are one and the same. Verse 23, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. That's a blank check. Whatever. He says, whatever you say, that's what you're going to have. In this one verse, he mentions believing one time, saying three times. Jesus wasn't wasting words. He's not being frivolous. He's putting emphasis where it belongs. Number one, stand on God's word and say it and say it and say it. If you'll say it, you can have it. What did the woman do? She kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying. And what happened? She received her miracle. She was agreeing with the will of God. She refused to allow people coming along. You know, she had some others coming along. What are you doing? What are you saying? You know you're sick. You know you've got this issue of blood. Who do you think you are? Huh. Oh, if I could just get to Jesus, I'll be healed. If I can just get to Jesus, I'll be healed. What was she doing? She was holding fast. Hebrews 10:23. She was holding fast to her confession of faith. Oh, and verse 35 says it has great recompense of reward. It sure did. It sure did. Amen. If it worked for her, it'll work for anybody. Glory to God. You'll have what you say. So again, I want to encourage us, declare a specific word-based statement of faith. Again, whatever you have in your life, it don't have to be something gigantic. It can be something small. You know, whatever it is, you got a headache, believe for the headache. But take something this week, even when you go home today, find you a scripture that covers that situation and write you a very simple word-based confession. I believe I've got an example here in our notes. Jesus, I believe you're my healer. And by your stripes, I am healed and made whole. That's 1 Peter 2:24. Find something that covers your situation according to who you are, what you have in the Bible. Again, Philippians, if you need finances, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you have a debt, you have a financial need, there's an example for you, but turn it into a confession, just like she did. She had a very simple one-sentence confession. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Find something for you to say. Again, faith is released through your mouth. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Say it and say it and say it and hold fast to it. Now, right alongside that, When others may come, when thoughts may come of fear, doubt, unbelief, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says we're to cast down those imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that exalts itself against that he meets all my needs, that exalts itself against by his stripes I'm healed. When those things come, get behind me, Satan. It's written, by his stripes I'm healed. Get behind me, Satan. My needs are met. Tell the devil where to go and speak the truth. Tell the devil where to go and speak the truth only. Hallelujah. Step number two, we see here in verse 27, 28, when the woman heard about Jesus, she came through the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I will be healed. Again, what you really believe in your heart, you will really speak out of your mouth, whether you like it or not. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth leaks or it speaks consciously, unconsciously. When the pressure's on, your mouth is going to say something. Whatever's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. Now, you may recognize over the days to come, I don't know if I like that. Is that what I want? So Paul and I, we had something since we got married, you know, we help each other, you know, and if somebody says something, is that your confession? You want me to agree with that? It helps. Have a faith buddy. Husbands and wives, I encourage you, partner up with each other. Is that what you want to come to pass? Is that what you want me to agree with? Oh, yeah, you stepped on my toes right there, but thank you. Thank you for helping me. You know, because again, how I call it is how it's going to be. Jesus said three, you say it, you say it, you say it, you'll have whatever you say. Life or death, blessing or cursing, it's in the power of your tongue. Your tongue is really the steering wheel of your life. It's guiding the course that your life is going to take. Your words are dominating your life, whether you like it or not. Every person on this planet, their words are guiding and dominating their lives. Blessing or curse, life or death, good or evil, or just idle, just wasteful. Hallelujah. What you really believe, you will not only say, but it will lead you to corresponding action. It will lead you. It will lead you to corresponding action. So again, just imagine, what if the woman sitting in her house only kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I will be healed, but never left the house? What if she never left the house, but she kept saying, but she never acted? Well, if her confession is, I need to go touch garments, and she never touches the garments, nothing's ever going to happen in her life. And nothing did. We don't know how long she said this. She may have said this 10,000 times throughout the course of days and weeks, or maybe even months, until Jesus came back around. Oh, but when he did, she didn't waste time. She went and, you know, hid herself, kind of ducked through the crowd, got over to Jesus. Amen. But the moment she touched him, she was immediately healed. Glory to God. The woman acted. The woman acted, and when she touched his clothes, she was healed. The word tells us in James chapter 1, 22 through 25, be doers of the word. Be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Again, what if the woman had only heard and didn't say or do anything? It wouldn't have done her any good. What if she had heard and said but didn't do? Wouldn't have done her any good. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you are deceiving yourself. No one else deceived you. You deceived yourself. You had this vain imagination. Well, I prayed and I asked God, and well, you know, if it's his will, he will. And if he won't, he won't. You know, that's a vain imagination. You have deceived yourself. Furthermore, when it comes, especially in the area of healing, I'm not necessarily praying, oh God, please heal me. That's really not a New Testament biblical prayer. No more than I'm praying, oh God, please send salvation. He has sent salvation. His name is Jesus. He has sent healing. His name is Jesus. He has sent provision. His name is Jesus. And who are you today in Christ? I'm in Christ. I am saved. I am healed. I am blessed. Again, Philemon 1:6 says, as you partner in the faith, you'll become effective. How? As you simply acknowledge every good thing that's already in you in Christ. I'm not praying, oh God, please heal me. I'm just coming to him and I'm reconciled. Father, I see what you have done in the life of Jesus. I see the stripes that he bore for me on his back. And I see now that I am in Christ. And if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, the healer's in me, then healing is not out here somewhere. Healing is here in my spirit, man. In the spirit, I'm perfect. But Lord, help me to reconcile the two so that I can experience healing in my natural body. Now, by faith, I'm acknowledging this is who I am, and I receive healing in my body today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a lot of times people are in this place of I'm praying, oh God, please, please. And that's really not biblically accurate. He's not out there. Your healing's not out there. Your healing is right here. Simply acknowledge who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, and receive it. Receive it. In this instance, people in the natural had to go to Jesus. Jesus lives in you. I don't need to go somewhere. He's right here. He said in Hebrews 13:5-6, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't need to pray, oh God, go with us when we go travel or something. He's right there. He's right there. Acknowledge him. Lord, I know you're here. I know you're my protector. I know you're my provider. I know you're my healer. I know you're my deliverer. So I acknowledge this. I acknowledge the truth, and I receive it by faith today. And now I'm just declaring that truth in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Again, be a doer of the word. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23, for anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. So again, the woman, imagine she's heard the word. Maybe she's even said the word, but she doesn't do anything like it. He says, if they hear the word but do not act on it or carry it out, it's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, observing himself, he goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. So again, you wake up in the morning, oh, thank you, Lord, by his stripes I was healed. I see it in the word of God. So you're looking into this mirror, and then you go about your day. You never give it another thought. You never get it another place. You're just about your day. You're just about your day. You're not acting on that word. You're just observing. You're just observing. Then you go home at night and, oh yeah, I see this word, by his stripes I'm healed. You're not doing anything to act upon that word. You're not standing on that word. It's just a passive thing. He says, you've deceived yourself. You have deceived yourself is what James says. All right? But he, verse 25, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, say continue, continue, continue. So again, she kept saying, and then as soon as she had the chance, when Jesus came to town, boom, she's out of that house and she's getting over to Jesus. Continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer. Not just an effective sayer, the effective doer. We have to add corresponding action. So if I really believe something, yes, I'm going to be saying it. Oh, but I'm going to take every opportunity as Holy Spirit leads me somehow, some way, I'm going to act upon this word. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take a step of faith. If I just have to walk around the room, every step I take is a step of faith, and I'm releasing my faith that I'm healed. Do something, move something. Amen. If you're believing God for finances, sow a seed. I'm sowing a seed of faith, and I'm believing for a mighty harvest of these needs being met. Amen. Do something. In the natural, you have to be an effective doer of the word. And here's the result. He will. Not he might. Not someday. No, he said he will be blessed in what he heard. He'll be blessed in what he says. He says he'll be blessed in what he does. Only when you actually act upon faith is an act. Faith is an act. If and until you do something to act on the word, you've not completed really the cycle of faith. You've cut it off prematurely. Well, I heard it and I confessed it once or twice. Maybe you confessed it 100 times, but if and until you actually added corresponding action to it, you're not a doer of the word and you can expect nothing. You've cut it off short. You have to see it all the way through. I have to believe it. I have to say it. I have to do it. This is what she did, and this is how she received her miracle. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 1, 5, he says, of the obedience that comes through faith. Again, we mentioned this at the start of the service. Obedience, faith is obedience to revelation. I heard from God, I know what his will is, and now I'm obedient to it. I'm obedient to say it. I'm obedient to act upon it, however he leads me. However he leads me. If he tells me I need to go dip in the Platte River 7 times, I'm going to go dip in the Platte River 7 times. And if that's what he told you to do to receive healing, you can have every healing evangelist in the country lay hands on you and you will receive absolutely nothing. You can confess it. You can say, you know what? I heard so-and-so, they went over here and they did this and they got healing. So that's what I'll do. It won't work for you. Holy Spirit told you what to do. And if you'll go do that, that's what's going to work. Amen. Again, Jesus, again, the healing ministry does not work exactly the same way for every person, every situation, even though you have the exact same situation. What he tells you and what he tells you can be two totally different things. Amen. When you'll do what he tells you to do, it'll work. Again, faith is obedience to revelation. Again, Paul writes here in Romans 1:5, obedience that comes from faith. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You can't say I have faith and have no corresponding action. It's impossible. Faith acts. Faith is an act. Obedience is the bridge between what the word says about your situation and the manifestation of your miracle. Faith is the bridge that connects the two. Again, we talked about faith as the currency of the kingdom. It's how we make the divine exchange. It is that bridge that brings that miracle into this natural realm. It's present, but how do I receive it in the natural? Obedience through faith. Obedience through faith. Thank you, Jesus. Huh. The woman, looking here, she doesn't merely admire the miracles that other has received, even those that she's heard about. She laid hold of her miracle and took corresponding action. So I want to ask you today, what have you been doing with what you have heard? When you read your Bible, when you come to church, what are you doing with what you've heard? Pastor James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He's pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and he wrote this book of James. What have you been doing with what you have heard? You may have been going to church your entire life, but if and until you act on what you've heard, you're not going to see the results of it in your life. You'll have all kinds of head knowledge. You'll have all kinds of head knowledge, and you can sit here and talk the word and talk the word and talk the word with others and amongst yourself, but if and until you act on that word, it won't become a reality in your life. I would rather have one word from God that I've acted upon than 1,000 words I've done nothing with. And all you need is one word from God to change any situation in your life. Just a word from God. Just a simple scripture. This woman just said one revelation. This woman had one revelation. Just one. Just one. If I can just get to Jesus and touch his clothes, I can get healed. She had one revelation and she had an awesome miracle. All you need is a word from God that you will act upon and it will work for you the same it worked for her. God's no respecter of persons. The scripture says he is no respecter of persons. Oh, but he says, those who honor me, I will honor. All you need is one word from God. Whatever your situation is, I want you to realize something. You are just one word from God to being completely delivered, completely set free, completely debt-free. Just a word from God. Just one. Hallelujah. Step number three, receive it. Mark 5:29, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. 12 years, blood's been flowing. Yeah, blood's not flowing anymore. My hormones, I think, have come back. I sense something's different. There's a lightness. A weight has lifted. My strength. If you're bleeding all the time, that makes you weak. That makes you weak. I believe strength came back into her body that she hadn't felt before in 12 years. She sensed something immediately in her body. Again, after the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' clothes in faith, she sensed or she felt that her body was healed. Now, Jesus here in Mark 5:30 says, at once Jesus was aware that power had gone out from him. See, and he's just walking down the street. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. He's just walking. But he knows when I'm laying hands on folks, when I'm speaking words, I'm aware that power is going out. And so when someone came and made a draw and received that power, he says, oh, something happened here. Yeah, everybody's touched me, but someone touched me in faith. Turning to the cloud, he asked, "Who touched my garments?" Again, first the woman said, then she acts, and at this point of contact, she has released her faith and received her healing. This was her confession. Really, she set the conditions for her own miracle. If I'll touch his garments, if I touch his garments, if I touch his garments, the moment she touched, she received. That moment she touched is really when her faith, and all at one time, all of this was released in a moment of time. She released it and she receives it. She makes that exchange. Her confession and her actions have now been released in full, and in full she receives that power. And she's healed in that moment. Healing power was present to heal everybody there that day. One person touched him in faith. This woman was healed. Healing power was present in Jesus to heal everybody. Every day, every time she touched him in faith, she was healed. Others will see they come to him in faith and they're healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Every step that she took was her faith in action. And I also want to draw special attention to notice that the feeling and the healing followed the saying and the doing. Too many times, people will pray a prayer or something like this, and then you know what? Yeah, I'm not. I guess it didn't work. When it works, I'll say I'm healed. When it works, I'll start acting like I'm healed. No, you've got to say it right now. You've got to say it beforehand and keep on saying it. And whatever you can do, if you've got pain in your body, pain in your knee, by faith, I'm just going to get up out of this chair today and I'm going to walk back and forth across the room. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. Oh, Jesus, I thank you that you're my healer and by your stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. Do something to act in faith. Do something to release your faith. Hallelujah. And as I do so, I thank you that my knees, my joints, they're getting better. I thank you that this is clearing up. I thank you that this is working out for my good in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So practice receiving by faith. After you have spoken and acted on the word, now just take a moment to thank Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to praise you. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. I've shared this testimony with you guys back in fall of 2010. Friday night, I'm in my room, and all of a sudden I had a severe pain come and hit me in one of my teeth. I mean, it hurts so bad. It's late at night. You know, where are you going to find a dentist? You know? So I had just started hearing about faith and how these things operate. All right. So I prayed and I believed I received my healing. And pain's still there. So what else do I have to do? So I just took my little room, and I'm just walking in the room for about an hour. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you're my healer. I want to thank you that I am healed and I am whole. I thank you that I have received it. I thank you that pain and sickness and disease are under my feet. I'm just praising God. Just repeating this thing again. What else do I have to do? This goes on for an hour. I mean, I prayed a 30-second prayer, but I praised God in faith for an hour. And at the end of that hour, pain completely gone. I went to bed, hallelujah, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, pain just as there is throbbing like never before. What am I going to do? Got back up. Lord already prayed. And so I just praised the God for another hour doing the exact same thing. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm healed. I want to thank you that I'm pain-free. An hour goes by, pain goes away. This day till then, it's never come back. Amen? Now, what could I have done? Oh, that pain. Oh, that's so bad. Oh, I guarantee you, Saturday I would have been paying a dentist twice as much or three times as much to come in on a weekend to come do something about my tooth. Money at the time I didn't have, pain I didn't need to bear with, Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. I didn't really understand all this, but what was I doing? I was acknowledging every good thing that was already in me in Christ Jesus. I was acknowledging Christ the healer. I was acknowledging the fact that by his stripes I was healed. And I participated in that place. I was speaking it. And by faith, I'm just up praising God, acting on it every way I knew how to act on it. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Number four, she went and told it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, trembling in fear, and she told him the whole truth. You know, that took a while, probably. Where did the woman get the faith to be healed? Number one, someone told her about Jesus and how people were getting healed, most likely through the laying on of hands, is how she heard about it. Now, something to point out here, she is now responsible to go and preach what testified what God has done for her. We're supposed to perpetuate the gospel. Jesus, after 3.5 years of public ministry, he turns to his disciples and says, now you and all those that will follow you, go make disciples of all the nations, and y'all go preach this gospel. You go lay hands on the sick. You cast out devils. Amen. You go do this. You can't keep this quiet to yourself. You've got to go tell it. So again, Jesus does not allow this woman to escape without being a witness and testifying what God has done to her as an example for others. Jesus was not going to say, you know what? Someone received a miracle. Oh, well, I got to get to Jairus' house. Let's just keep going. No, we're reading about her today. She's testifying to this day. Amen. Again, if God, whatever. So again, if you need a miracle, stand on that word, believe you receive your miracle, but start today. What has God done for you in your life? Oh, he saved you. Oh, wonderful. Has he ever healed you? Has he ever helped you pay your rent? Has he ever helped you, you know, with a family member? Has he ever helped you? Amen. Go testify about it now.
Yeah.
Go testify about it right now. Huh. Step into a flow of miracles. Again, what we call miracles, it's just ordinary things. This is just ordinary kingdom life. This is ordinary in the kingdom. You are, the Bible says, a kingdom citizen. Yeah. We're supposed to be living in days of heaven on earth. Again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not bound by the limitations of this natural realm. Jesus did not live his life bound by limitations of the natural realm.
That's right.
He recognized the kingdom that he came from. And he says, this, and so again, we look at the life of Jesus when he goes about preaching. And what was he doing? He started out, he said, I'm preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom. The kingdom has now come. The kingdom has now come. And everywhere he goes, he's demonstrating kingdom life. Yeah. Sickness and disease, that's not in the kingdom. Get out. Lack, that's not in the kingdom. Get out. Everywhere, devils, that's certainly not in the kingdom. Get out. Everywhere he goes, he's declaring the truth, and the truth is setting people free. The truth is how you occupy until he comes. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's all stand. Hallelujah. I think I preached about long enough here today. Glory to God. So again, I have some practical steps for us this week again to walk out in our notes. Hallelujah. Pastor Paula, would you come on up, please? Thank you, Jesus. Well, we mentioned it here earlier, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, Paul said, this is the word of faith which we preach. And this word of faith, he models it, giving us the example of salvation. He uses salvation as an example for how faith works. And it's so simple. And if you can receive salvation, which is the greatest miracle of all, surely you can receive your healing. And it comes the same way.
Amen.
And he says here in verse 9 that if you will confess with your mouth. So there we are. Number one, you've got to say it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved, period. There's no other qualification. There's not if you'll do this and if you'll do that, you can, you know, maybe I can look the other way and you can be saved and, you know. No, it's just that simple. You believe in your heart. You believe that Jesus came and he paid that price for you. If you'll do that, you can be saved today.
Thank you, Lord.
By that same manner, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that by his stripes you're healed, you can receive your healing the exact same way. It all works the exact same way. I believe it in my heart. I confess it with my mouth, and I'm adding action to that. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is your son.
Is your son.
He is the Christ.
He is the Christ.
And I confess Jesus.
And I confess Jesus.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Do something wonderful with it.
Do something wonderful with it.
All for your glory.
All for your glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We believe according to the scripture that if you pray that prayer even for the first time, you are saved.
Amen.
You're in the kingdom of God. You are washed in His blood. And the word says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, Amen. Until next time, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.